Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's great to be with you, as always, and we're talking relationships this month, and, you know, guys, when you think about the gospel message and the love of Christ, that's lived out in relationships, whether it's marriage, whether it's, parenting, whether it's friendship, whether it's within the body of Christ, whether it's with people at work and your neighbors, all of that. This gospel message is lived out among people. And so we better know what the gospel is, have that foundation so that we can really live out what this good news is all about as we interact with one another. And it's a great passage in the book of Ephesians. We read it yesterday about being filled with the Spirit. That's being controlled by the love of God. And that enables us to submit to one another out of reverence of Christ. And that's what Paul says there. And that's such an important key, isn't it, guys?
Yeah. And, you know, whether it's Ephesians or Colossians or any other epistle where you get into relationships, husbands, wives, employers, employees, fathers, mothers, children, there's a core, you know, those are roles we play. But even those things are not our identity. If that's your identity, you end up with empty nest syndrome. You don't know what to do with yourself when your kids go off to college. Your husband or wife leaves you, and then you've lost your identity. If that's all you had in terms of investing in those relationships for your purpose and your meaning. So what I love about Christ Jesus is that he gives us a deeper identity. It's deeper than our roles, and yet it affects our roles tremendously. We begin drawing our value and worth from being a child of God, and that's unshakable. Unshakable worth, unshakable value. We have the respect of God. He's given us a place of honor and privilege. And so then when we approach each other in these human relationships, we're not trying to suck the life out of the other person. We're not trying to, you know, get life from them. And I think it changes the whole way we relate to others, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I love how Paul put it in Galatians, free to serve one another in love. So yeah. We have to have these spiritual needs met in Christ. And as you're talking about, Andrew, that's our identity. We need to know who we are, have those big questions asked. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And once those questions have been settled, and they can only be settled through faith in Jesus Christ, only Christians really have certainty as far as those questions are concerned. We have an unshakable identity, as you were mentioning. We have a destination that is clear and sure, and that gives us hope for here and now, which is all about purpose. And that frees us. That gives us freedom to actually serve others in love. And that's what relationship is all about. So I think it's so vitally important that we know who we are in Jesus Christ. And that enables us to really love and allow the love of Christ to flow through us into the lives of others. So this is important stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. It's the good news that you hear every day on this broadcast. And we would love for you to share the broadcast with us at 844-322-2742. We are here. We'd love to speak with you. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And since February is Valentine's month, we thought you might like to do something extra for your husband or wife and your family. We think this new two CD series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family by Bob Christopher, could be just the thing. Families, marriages, even motherhood are coming under increasing stress and sometimes outright attack. This new series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, shows the way to counter the assaults and build strong, authentic relationships and families. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is yours as you make your gift during February, the Valentine's month. And as always, you can just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo, who has been patient this week. She's called a couple of times. So, Mary Jo, thanks for your patience. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm having trouble getting it clear in my mind, but I'm going to make it as simple as I can. There are some people that believe in the Lord, and I'm assuming they've asked him in, but they don't profess him. What's their condition? What's going to happen to them if they don't profess the Lord?
Mary Jo, when you say profess, what do you mean? Do they say they're not a believer? Do they say that Jesus is not their Savior? Or what do you mean by they don't profess?
They don't. What I understand profess is tell other people about the Lord.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, you know, we're not saved by our salesmanship. There's a lot of people that are nervous about talking with other people. There's a lot of people that grew up, you know, being told they had to knock on doors and stand in the mall in the hallway and hand out tracts and that sort of thing. And I think we just have to remember that it's not our bravery that saves us. It's not having guts that saves us. It's not being, having a salesman type personality that saves us or keeps us saved. So we're saved because of the blood of Jesus, and we're saved because of the resurrection of Christ. And when we open the door of our lives, he comes in and he says, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And he doesn't put a condition on that. He doesn't say, I'll never leave you as long as you talk about me. I'll never leave you as long as you convert, you know, try to convert other people. So as joyous as it is, and that's what we're doing on radio every day. I mean, my goodness, we love talking about the Lord and professing that the Lord is our Savior and he's our life. Nevertheless, you know, none of that is what keeps us saved. We have something to celebrate, and that is that the grace of God has taken root in our lives, and that grace is unconditional. So if you never go to church again, if you never lift a finger in Christian service again, if you never read your Bible another second, God still loves you as his child the same, and he'll never leave you, never forsake you. So we are not saved by talking about Jesus. We are saved because we have received Jesus Christ himself and received the benefit of what he did for us. So it's not what we do for him, it's what he did for us. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Well, good. Well, I hope that's helpful to you when you think about why you're saved and why you'll always be saved. And then some of these Christians who are, you know, young in the Lord, they're young in the faith, they're still maturing like all of us. And, you know, it's certainly not about how much we're talking or how much we're doing. The core of the gospel is look at what Jesus did for us.
It's total reverse of what you've been taught. All in the when I went to church, you gotta, you know, profess. You've got to do this and you got to do that.
Yeah,
this is total reversal of what I've heard.
Yeah, and when you get excited about that, Mary Jo, then you're getting excited about the grace of God. And then what's going to happen, ironically, is you find yourself, well, excited and enthusiastic, you know, and then lo and behold, people say, hey, what's going on with Mary Jo? Why is she so content? Why does she have so much peace? Why is she so excited about the Lord? And then they begin to ask about the hope that is within you. And then you get the privilege of sharing what the hope within you is. And you know, thank the Lord that the hope within you is not telling people, hey, would you become a Christian and then get busy talking? That's not the gospel. The gospel is you become a Christian, you get forgiven and loved and saved forever, and then that wells up inside of you and you get a joy that you just can't shake.
Yeah, it's very nice and comforting.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your question. I think it's one that a lot of us ask, and appreciate you bringing it to the program.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
Thank you for being here.
You bet.
Thanks for your call, as always.
As always. Well, 844-322-2742, if you'd like to join us and pose your question, we'd love for you to do that. 844-322-2742. Guys, a couple of days ago, I saw this on the Daily Mail online, and then Fox News picked it up, I think, yesterday. In England, doctors have been banned from calling pregnant patients mothers. Official guidelines issued by the British Medical Association say mothers-to-be should be referred to as pregnant people. The move aims to avoid offending and alienating transgender patients or parents. Your thoughts?
Well, it's just more political correct talk, isn't it? Yes. We're trying to limit vocabulary, limit things, just so we don't offend anybody. And, it's just a strange thing that's going on out there in the world. It really is. And I think we're, undermining kind of the roles that God has established in his creative order. We see mothers in, animals all the way up to humans. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful role. And why can't we call it what it is? And we see fathers and dads, and why can't we call that role what it is? And emphasize the importance of why God established it this way. Well, because we don't want to step on somebody's toes. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just hogwash to me. We ought to be free to just lay it out there for what it is. What do you guys think?
Yeah, there's a sense in which all of this is really opposite speak. Whatever we say is supposed to value people actually devalues everyone. And there's this sense in which all of humanity is being devalued until it has no value at all. Therefore, humans and animals can all be treated the same and used up or thrown away or whatever at any time without any moral compunction. Mm-hmm. And this is the enemy's goal.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been the liar since the beginning. His whole goal is to kill as many humans as he can before Jesus can save them. And this, it just fits right in with everything he wants to do.
Yeah, it's the world trying to legislate love, and you can't do that. They're saying we need to be tolerant and we need to be loving, and so we'll do that by changing this word to this word, and we'll change this word to this word. And if we can just get everybody saying this word instead of this one, then we'll all get along and be peaceable. Well, the same people pushing that are the same people in some cases rioting in the streets, hurting police officers, talking about tolerance, and then they turn right around and act out in violence. So you cannot trust that. You cannot trust that system. God never told us that we could legislate love. Love is only going to come from Jesus Christ living in our hearts. And when you get down to this mother label and you try to take that away, I mean, I think in part it has to do with abortions. It has to do with, if we can take the word mother away, then someone who has a baby in their womb doesn't need to think about fulfilling that role as a mother because they're just a pregnant person, mm-hmm. not a mother. And that child is not a child yet. And so there's no child-mom relationship. And so it affects everything from the transgender issue to motherhood itself, which has implications for the decision to potentially have an abortion. So all of this rhetoric has an agenda behind it. It's an attempt to legislate love. And in the end, we know better. We know that unity only comes from God's grace, and it only comes from the presence of Jesus Christ living in us.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Andrew. Good words.
Yes, indeed.
Good discussion there. Well, let's go to Allen, Texas, and talk with Gina, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Gina.
Hi. I spoke to the caller before me, and she was asking about, the difference between a Christian who professes outwardly and one who says. And I agree with the response that you give, but I was called to my mind the verse that says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Didn't Jesus say that mm-hmm. at some point?
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if you could elaborate on appropriate context of that verse and why it doesn't mean what it appears to mean and what obviously some Christians interpret it, you know, to mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when Mary Jo called in earlier, when we asked her to really define profess, it turned out that professing, as she was using the expression, really meant witnessing or evangelism. And so, you know, first we wanted to make it clear that people are not saved and certainly don't remain saved because of evangelism, which I know you, obviously, you said you agree with that. And, you know, we would never want people to feel pressured to evangelize in order to stay, you know, right with God. I certainly ended up making that mistake, and it had serious ramifications for my enjoyment of relationship with God. Now, to answer your question, you know, these Jews, many of them early on, 2,000 years ago, they were denying Jesus. They were denying that Jesus was Messiah. They were denying the work of Christ, the identity of Christ. You know the story that even some of them were calling him Satan. And so they were calling his miracles works of Satan. And so this was blasphemy. It was an insult to Jesus. And so that's what Jesus means when he says, if you deny me, my Father will deny you. Like, if you deny my identity, if you deny my work, if you deny who I am and what I've done, then you are literally denying the gospel. You're rejecting it. And if that's the case, well, then, of course, my Father will deny you because he never knew you. So those are unbelievers denying the gospel.
Kind of gets back to what Paul said in Romans, doesn't it, that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, that's when we're saved. So in that process of repentance, that unbelief goes to belief, and there's a open confession about your new identity in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Does that help?
Well, that's great. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Gina.
Hey, thanks for your call, Gina. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Well, of course, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Parley on this edition. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad you've joined us. We have time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question from Kurt, who listens online in Detroit. He says, I think Ben Franklin made the statement, God helps those who help themselves. I hear Christians and non-Christians alike quote this. Many think it comes from the Bible. What is wrong with this statement, and is it an attitude that God wants us to live by?
Well, it's certainly not an attitude that will get us into heaven, and it's certainly not the way the gospel is laid out. God helps those who can't help themselves. He justifies the sinner. He does for us what we can't do for ourselves. We can't save ourselves, so God sent Jesus to do that for us. So it's by grace. This salvation that we have is a gift. It is a gift of God. Certainly the attitude of, you know, not being lazy and working and those sort of things, that is profitable as a human being. But as far as it comes to our salvation, our right standing before God, even living out this Christian life, we have to depend solely on Jesus. He is the vine, we're the branch, and God has created us to live in a dependent relationship. So as we live in Christ, abide in Christ, we're going to see the fruit of his life being lived out through us. So, no, it's not in the Bible. God helps those who can't help themselves, and I'll be the first to admit I'm one of those guys. Yeah. And that's why I'm so grateful for the grace of God, and I hope you as a listener are grateful for the grace of God as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, guys. You know, we've got founding fathers who said a lot of profound things and, you know, led our country in a great direction, and there was a work ethic among them. And I think this statement was related to that work ethic. He was trying to help people avoid passivity, avoid foolishness, as you said. But when it comes to the gospel message, my goodness, we're certainly not in the business of helping ourselves and fixing ourselves and saving ourselves and that sort of thing. So I agree 100%. We're going to have to disagree with old Ben this time.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Jim, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Jim.
Hi, fellas. Just listening to your radio program, and the Holy Spirit just finally told me to call you and ask you a question. I am not a Christian. I do not follow Jesus Christ. And I don't know if we need to put this on the radio, but the reason for that is Revelation 12:9, where it just paraphrased very quickly, where it says the devil deceives the whole world, which he's had 6,000 years to do, and he's very good at it. And so I found myself studying that verse and saying, if that's true, then I must be deceived. So I started looking into this deception and found that the Hebrew, you know, the 40 Hebrews basically wrote the book. And there is no letter J in the Hebrew language from the beginning of time until today. But the letter J was invented in 1524 by Gian, G-I-A-N, Trissino, T-R-I-S-S-I-N-O. And, of course, John the Revelator died in approximately 100, so 1,424 years later, the letter J came in advance. So how, the son of the father was a Yahudim, as you would call him, a Jew. So he had a Jewish name. He didn't have a North American name, and his name, to me, is Yahushua. So I'm asking the question, if this is really true, and I can go to any encyclopedia and find it, can you help me with that problem?
Sure, yeah. As a linguist, I can speak to that. We've got Jesus' name expressed in multiple ways throughout hundreds of world languages, thousands, in fact. Some of those would have a letter J. Others would not have a letter J, but the letter J itself doesn't make or break the message. It doesn't make the message of who that person was, being fully God and fully man. It doesn't make or break that message.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's just the name that I disagree with.
Well, you can worship him in Spanish, or you can worship him in Swahili, which doesn't have J as we know it. I mean, my point is that you talk about the enemy deceiving the world. Well, you know, in this case, you're getting tripped up by a letter that you know from your perspective as an English speaker. But, I mean, the identity of Jesus goes deeper than English, goes deeper than a letter. Jesus is creator of all. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord of all, and he's certainly above our human languages, our letters, our words, our phrases. He is in all and even gives breath to us. So falling at the feet of Jesus Christ and worshiping him as your Lord and Savior has little to do with a letter in the alphabet to begin with.
And Jim, we certainly pray that you will do that, that if you really believe the Holy Spirit led you to call, then the Holy Spirit is leading you to Jesus Christ, and he's leading you to confess with your mouth that he is Lord and to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. If you truly believe the Holy Spirit is leading you, led you to call today, he's leading you to come to faith in Jesus. That's what this Word of God is all about. He came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And I just encourage you, I plead with you today, be reconciled to God, receive the life that is available to you through simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and Jim, you will be saved.
Yes, indeed. Well, Jim, hope you keep listening and we'll call again, and we would love to interact with you further. So again, thank you for your call today. We are out of time. But friends, I want to remind you very quickly of this new 2-CD series by Bob Christopher called Inside Out, Marriage and Family. It will show you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, how to build strong, authentic relationships. If you would like to get a copy of it, it's yours with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Simply go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, and we'll get one on the way to you. Just request it when you make your gift. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody, for Basic Gospel. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.